Well, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible self-identifies itself as living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes on from there, but that phrase, that opening phrase by in and of itself always reminds me of this, that this book we call the Bible is a book unlike any other book. I have, I don't know, close to 2,000 books in my library, and there's only one book that when I pull it off the shelf, it is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. In part, what that has meant to me over the years, almost 30 years of ministry, is that whenever I read the Bible, no matter how familiar I am with the story, no matter how familiar I am with the text, because it is living and it is active, it doesn't mean that the story changes, it doesn't mean that the text changes, it doesn't mean that the interpretation or the meaning of the text changes. What does change is the application of that text to my life as it intersects my life at a point in time. That's what makes the Bible so amazing. I can read a story that I'm so familiar with, like the Christmas story, a story you're familiar with, and when it intersects your life today, if you let it, there's a fresh application. There's a meaning that emerges, not an interpretation of it, but a meaning to your life this day that is unlike any other. And that's how I'm approaching the Christmas story and the Christmas season in 2020. This has been a very unique year, has it not? And I want to suggest to you that to read the Christmas story as it intersects our lives this year is a very, very unique time. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. One of many great Christmas texts, and we read this one at Christmas time. It also describes something that pastors and theologians refer to as the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew, in his gospel, he says it this way. He says, this babe born in Bethlehem is Emmanuel, God with us. Technically, we refer to this as the incarnation. The incarnation is one of the most basic affirmations in Christianity, and it is the essence of Christmas. When we ask the question, what is Christmas? This is Christmas. The idea that God became a man without losing an iota of His deity, that idea we call the incarnation, is fundamental to our faith. In fact, I want to suggest to you that you cannot call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, and not embrace the incarnation, this God who became man and was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. John, in his gospel, he wrote not only the Gospel of John, but he also wrote three postcards, I like to call them, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, shorter little books toward the end of your New Testament. And in 1 John chapter 4, John makes it clear that belief in the incarnation is a test for whether or not the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Antichrist lives in a person. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says it this way, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you will recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh," that's the incarnation, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Keep that in mind as we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A couple of key terms in there that are important to get. The first word to circle in your Bible is the word Word. The Word became flesh. In the Greek, it's the word logos, the Logos became flesh. Now, if you back all the way up to the beginning of John's gospel, as John, like the other gospel writers, introduces the world to Jesus Christ, John is writing in a very sophisticated and almost philosophical kind of way. He starts by saying, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And if you were living in the first century and you were among the sophisticated theologians and philosophers, John's got your attention. Because those kinds of people often thought and discussed the Logos. The Logos that they saw as having a role in the creation of the universe. Only they understood the Logos was sort of an abstract philosophical concept. They thought of the Logos as an ethereal force in the universe that had something to do with the creation and the formation of the universe. They thought of the Logos in a Star Wars kind of way. May the Force be with you. And John comes along and introduces Jesus to the world, and he says, no, the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelled among us. He puts flesh and bones on this abstract theological concept, just blowing the minds of the sophisticated Jews and Greeks back in the first century. And then he uses the word dwelt. He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word also means he tabernacled or tented among us. It's meant to take the Jewish mind back to their wilderness experiences, to the time of the tabernacle or to the tent of meeting. The tabernacle served as a vivid symbol of divine presence, and it was the place where they went to meet with God. But God kept his distance. In fact, in the Holy of Holies, where you would find the presence of God, it was the high priest who could only go into that place once a year on behalf of the people. And even as God met with his people in the Old Testament, he kind of kept his distance through the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. But at Christmas, Jesus tabernacles among us. In other words, God came near. Or to say it as Eugene Peterson paraphrases in the Message, the Word became flesh and God became our neighbor. Now, all of that up to this point, you say, yeah, Pastor, I've heard this before. It's Christmas time again. I know it's 2020. Tell me something different that I don't know about the Christmas story. I don't know that I can. Maybe you've heard it all before. But this Christmas, the idea of the incarnation, the idea that the Word became flesh, that God came near, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, just run with me on this. In 2020, it just has a different application. Why? Because all year long, we've been told to keep our distance from one another. The phrase social distancing was not even in our vocabulary a year ago. And if you're looking for some hope in the midst of a global pandemic and a difficult year, here's the hope, right here in the Christmas story, right here in Emmanuel, God with us, in the incarnation. The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. He moved toward us and wants to have a relationship with us. If I could say it this way, when God determined that it was time to go and redeem his people, the prophets have been talking about the coming of Messiah for centuries, but when the time came, I imagine a conversation in heaven going something like this: all right, son, it's time to pack your bags and go. He didn't send us a text message. He didn't send us an email. He didn't say, hey, go check out my website. He didn't schedule a Zoom meeting with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He moved toward us, taking the risk that we who were contaminated with the sin virus, he moved closer to us, not away from us. We've been told all year long, keep your distance. We're even here in this auditorium sitting every other row and seats between families. We're socially distancing. But that's not Christmas. God did not socially distance himself from us at Christmas time. Despite what Bette Midler sings, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. No, Bette, he's not. He's not. He is Emmanuel, he is God with us. And I don't know about you, but that just makes the incarnation and the Christmas story all the more special for me this year. And I hope it does for you as well. I was thinking also of Matthew chapters 8 and 9, which if you have a chance to read them this Christmas, it's not part of the Christmas story, but it is part of the incarnational ministry of Jesus. This Jesus who left heaven, came to earth, clothed himself in the rags of humanity, and kept moving closer and closer and closer to us. Matthew chapters 8 and 9 is just a description of a day or two in the life of Jesus where his incarnational ministry is on full display. And I just wrote down a list of all the things you'll read about in those two chapters. He cleansed a leper. He healed a centurion's paralyzed servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He got close with his disciples and traveled in a boat with them, and a storm came, and he calmed the sea. He cast out the demons of two men from the Gerasenes. He healed a paralytic and forgave him his sins. And if that wasn't enough, he raised a young girl from the dead, healed a woman with a blood disease, plus healed two blind men and a demon-possessed man who was mute. And not once saying, I have to keep my distance from these people who have the sin virus. He never wore a mask. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God has been inching back closer and closer to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Oh yes, the tabernacle, you know, he kept a little distance because he is a holy God. He taught us how to approach a holy God, even in our sinful state. But at Christmas time, God came near. He is God with us. And I want to even suggest that even that's not enough for him. You see, he's moving toward us in relationship, even though we have this sin virus. And he came to be God with us. But if you fast forward from Bethlehem, 30 years of Jesus' upbringing, and then three more years of his incarnational ministry on this earth, fast forward through the cross, 3 days later, the resurrection, and even 40 days after that to his ascension. Do you know why he ascended to the Father? And you know what he said to his disciples? He said, I need to go to the Father. I need to go back to heaven so I can send the Holy Spirit. And I'm coming again to get you and to take you back to my Father's house. But in the meantime, I have to ascend to go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come not to be with you, but to be in you. An even closer expression of intimacy and his desire to be in relationship with us. So at Christmas time, we celebrate God with us, but the whole goal was God in us. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells you. It doesn't make you a little God, don't go that far, but it is God in us, not just with us. That's one level of intimacy, but now he's in us. And Jesus is coming again to take us back to be with him forever in his Father's house. That's something to celebrate this Christmas. To me, the incarnation is so meaningful in a world that has been stricken by a global pandemic. If you can't find hope in Christmas this year and apply the Christmas story, to read the familiar Christmas story, intersect it at this unique point in time in your life and in my life and in our history, it's just a wonderful thing to do. We can pray this prayer together from one of the old hymns. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Our Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that it's not hard to answer the question, you know, what is Christmas? No, you've said in so many ways, in the pages of your word, this is Christmas. This is why I came. Celebrate God with us, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Father, I thank you that you've chosen to tabernacle, to take up your residency, to move into our neighborhood, as it were. And Father, now is not a time to keep our distance from you, not in the least bit. I pray that this Christmas, every one of us would move closer to you, even as you have moved close to us. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you, the scripture says. And Father, I pray that that would be true of every one of us in this room. For every soul under the sound of my voice, or here in person, or watching online, that this Christmas would be more meaningful and more applicational to our life than ever before, even in the midst of a very, very difficult time. And we pray this in the powerful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.